Chapter 9. The Happy Poet. Henry's promise came true. He and Fanny did live in Craigie House for long, peaceful, and happy years. Their circle of friends grew as people learned to know their generous hospitality. Sometimes they gave large parties. Sometimes, just a few of their favorite friends came to dinner. Emerson, Hawthorne, Sumner. Fanny arranged Henry's study for him, where he could work and have his favorite books. Its two front windows looked toward the Charles River when the wooden shutters were open. In the back of the study was the music room and library where his other books were kept, and where Fanny had her writing desk. His old study directly above him became a playroom for Charles, who was born during the first year of their marriage, and for Ernest, who was born during the second year. Sometimes the poet found it difficult to concentrate until Fanny had put Charles and Ernest to bed. "It seemed somewhat as if the old study has descended through the floor," he wrote in his journal one evening. "Alas, the old study, now given up as a playroom to noisy Charles, whose feet incessantly patter over my head." Henry's eyes sometimes bothered him if he overstrained them with reading. So, in the evening, Fanny often read aloud to him as they sat by the fireplace in the music room and library. She read from the classics and from books written by Henry's friends, Ralph Waldo Emerson or Nathaniel Hawthorne. Henry Longfellow was watching Hawthorne's work with great interest. He believed that Hawthorne would be one of America's great writers someday. One evening, Nathaniel Hawthorne and a friend stopped in to have dinner with the Longfellows. As they sat around the table chatting, Hawthorne said, "Have you heard the story of how the Acadian farmers were banished from their village?" Henry Longfellow wanted to hear the story, and Hawthorne and his friend related it for him. "It's an appealing story," said the friend. "I've been trying to persuade Hawthorne to write a novel about it." "I don't think it is suitable for a novel," said Hawthorne. Henry Longfellow was keenly interested. "Are you sure you don't want to write a novel about it?" he asked Hawthorne. "Quite sure," said Hawthorne. "It doesn't appeal to me." "Well then," said Longfellow, "let me have the idea for a poem." "All right," laughed Hawthorne. "I'm sure you will make it into a beautiful poem." Henry Longfellow thought a great deal about the Acadian story, and he read about the history of the Acadian farmers before he started to work on it. Evangeline would be the heroine's name, he decided. At last, his pencil began to move over the paper. "This is the forest primeval." He worked all through the winter in every spare moment. From time to time, Hawthorne wrote him from Salem. "How is the poem coming along?" On the 27th of February, 1847, the long poem was finished. Many of Longfellow's friends had advised him not to write it. A long poem couldn't be a success, they warned. Longfellow ignored their warnings. "The manuscript has gone off to the printer," he told all of his friends happily. Just a few days later, on the 7th of April, he had another piece of joyous news for his friends. A third child, a girl, was born. "We are going to call her Fanny, for her mother," said the poet. By summertime, Mrs. Longfellow felt well enough to travel, and she and Henry gathered up their three children, two small boys and the infant Fanny, and went to the seashore in Nahant. When they returned in the autumn, and Professor Longfellow was teaching his classes at Harvard again, his book Evangeline was selling everywhere, thousands of copies. Evangeline was the most beautiful poem Longfellow had written so far. It was praised in papers in America and England. Congratulations came in letters from Hawthorne and Emerson and dozens of others. The students at Harvard were prouder than ever of their professor. The people of Cambridge, Portland, Nahant, and everywhere else that Longfellow had ever been, boasted that he was their poet. the sad and beautiful story of the Acadian maiden, Evangeline, and her sweetheart, Gabriel, grew more famous with each passing day.